Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver. Ready for honest conversations about thriving in midlife? Listen to and follow my new podcast, Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
That's what you'll be saying when you go to Sonic, because you'll be too busy eating. Sip on summer fun. Grab a sweet top lemonade or a summer slush today. Man, they have everything on this menu. Got the chocolate classic shake. Got the tots. Double Sonic Smasher. Everything for you waiting at Sonic. Get over there today.
Oh, it's perfect on a hot summer day in Memphis, Tennessee, getting yourself a one of those summer sweet top lemonades from Sonic. You'll absolutely love it. Have you wanting to go back every single day? Make sure you're taking advantage of happy hour over there at Sonic. Half price drinks and slushes, of course. And make sure you're downloading the app, because that's the way to fully experience and do Sonic. Mobile ordering made easy. You can order it all in the app. Use it to customize your Sonic favorites. Enjoy exclusive access to new products. That's where you get their exclusive deals. So make sure you download that Sonic app. Live free. Eat Sonic.
All right. So one thing we have not talked about as a result of Summer League. Yesterday, there was a board of governors meeting in Las Vegas. And, of course, we've sort of, I think, baked in this idea that the NBA is expanding before 2030. Like, I think that's kind of been,
yeah, felt like it.
You know, how we've all kind of, you know, been operating over the last couple of years, that they're going to Seattle and they're going to Vegas.
We felt like we said it for about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah,
I mean, not that long, but it feels like it.
And so, you know, we didn't know how far along, you know, the NBA was in that, you know, possibility, but. We got a sense this week, and they're not as far as we maybe thought. In fact, they are barely scratching the surface of starting the process. They have, according to The Athletic, team officials and people with knowledge of at least some of the owners' thoughts have told The Athletic in recent days that while Seattle remains a top candidate for a new or potentially relocated team among owners, there is not overwhelming momentum among governors to immediately expand past the current 30 teams. And basically, the idea is that they don't want to split the money. They don't want to split the money two more ways. They got this brand new media deal coming in, 11 years, $76 billion with NBC, Peacock, Amazon Prime, ABC, ESPN. And the owners are basically saying, we would rather keep all the money for ourselves as opposed to bringing in new partners that would also get that. So we don't know, you know, what that means exactly, but it sounds like there's a focus on this European basketball league that they're trying to launch, and that they view that as expansion. I have to say, I come away a little disconcerted, because when the issue of the Grizzlies always came up, it was like, they're expanding. The NBA is expanding. They're not relocating. They're expanding. Well, they maybe aren't expanding. And if everybody agrees that Seattle needs a team and they don't want to split this pie, there's only so many teams that can move. I mean, there's only so many. And there is no question about it that the Grizzlies would be one of them. I mean, they're the ones that still don't have the lease. It's July 16th. We don't have any news of the lease. I know it's not the end of summer yet, but we're not far from it. And I haven't heard anything. I haven't seen any reporting on the lease. And like, it seems like there's really no momentum. Not to say that it can't get done, but just that we haven't heard it.
Yeah. There's nobody that's going to answer that question right now for the Sam Hardimans and them that are asking it.
Right.
Right? Wexler's not going to answer it, and you're not hearing from Para because that's the way they've approached this whole situation. But you're right. We said end of summer. That's what Paul Young, who is talking to them, the mayor of Memphis, said. And if you get much further down the road here, we start kicking off into fall and winter, it hadn't happened, then yeah. I think at that point, you got to say what's happening. But in terms of expecting an answer, like, oh, you can, you know, just ring up, call up the phone, and here's an answer on the lease and where we are, you're not getting that because the Grizzlies haven't had to operate with any sort of transparency whatsoever in that.
Yeah, exactly.
And the reporting's going to come from Sam. I mean, I don't know who else is on it.
Yeah.
You know, again, on a day-to-day and making those calls.
Right, right. So I don't know. I mean, I don't want to, like, I'm not, like, doomsaying here. I don't want to do that. But it just, I would rather the NBA have said, yeah, we're expanding. We're gonna have that come in. We're going to have that, you know, right up for you. And instead, it seems like relocate. If Seattle gets a team, it will be via relocation at this point is how it feels. If Las Vegas gets a team right now, it would be via relocation. And I don't think the thirst for those cities getting teams is going to stop anytime soon. So, I mean, look, the like Memphis, New Orleans.
I mean, Portland's the one that's about to get sold or whatever, right? And by the Paul G. Allen estate.
Yes,
he's
sold.
Who they're being asked about is more.
Yes.
You know, can they stay? Are they going to stay in Portland? They're not. I didn't see any questions directly about, oh, are you moving Memphis out then if you don't expand? They're, you know, they're asking about Portland because they're being sold.
Right.
Now, you're right. There's a question here because the Grizzlies have a lease issue that, oh, by the way, is going to be up here, and they're working on it. We've had that, you know, we know they're in those talks. That said, though, it doesn't seem like Memphis is at the forefront here in terms of any fear, right, NBA-wise, of Portland's being asked about, these other places are being asked about. Not, again, that a small market like Memphis that didn't do great in attendance last year, wouldn't it be among the first ones you'd look at and say, okay, well, is it viable to move them? Not to mention, hell, you could probably move them 200 miles down the road. They'd be more valuable.
Right, right.
But are you going to move them across the country? Probably not.
I hope not.
Probably not.
And I just would have rather this been a celebration of expansion as opposed to not.
I don't think it's reason for terror because I don't think you're moving the Grizzlies across the country. Moving them to Nashville would be a different proposition.
Mm.
But that's not what's being asked here. And the NBA's always talked about Seattle and Las Vegas.
Yeah.
That's where it wants to go.
Yeah.
So.
Now, Adam Silver did talk about Portland.
Yeah, he was asked about Portland because of their ownership change.
He said he wants the league
to
stay there. I would love for him to say the league wants Memphis to stay in Memphis. I'd love to hear him. I know he hasn't been asked that.
Right.
But I wish that he would say that.
I mean, Adam Silver might tell you, I'm expecting Memphis to be signing a 20-year lease by the end of this summer.
Right.
Because that's where we think it is.
Right.
Why would the Grizzlies be changing course right now? Right. Why would Robert Parra be changing course at this point when you've had the state and the city step up with the money and do their part?
Yes.
So, again, there's nothing in this story is any reason for doomsday about Memphis' situation with its lease.
Yeah.
You're right to come back to not, you know, it had to be a comfort level till the thing signed. But this is not, you know, big time. Oh, we should be worried here in Memphis. I don't think that's the case at all.
Yeah, exactly. So that's one bit of news there. And the other bit of news that we have in the NBA, Bradley Beal. Bradley Beal is on his way to the Clippers. Mm-hmm. He's been bought out. The no trade clause is dead. He now has a trade clause. He can be traded. And he's going to the Clippers with Kawhi Leonard and James Harden with Brooke Lopez. They traded Norman Powell to the Heat and brought in John Collins. Do you like what they are doing in L.A.?
Again, I'm never going to bank on a James Harden team ever to make a run through the playoffs. So I'm done. He fooled me last year with the regular season, played great. And so that's a big part of it. You're also banking on Kawhi being healthy. Not to mention the guy you're trading out, Norman Powell, although getting long in the tooth. What is he, 32? They didn't want to pay him.
Yep.
He had an all-star season last year. He got snubbed. He should have been an all-star. They were heavily reliant on him, particularly when Kawhi was out, to help them get through the regular season. I know they've looked for a player like Collins for a long time. I don't think he's the answer in terms of getting over the hump. And then, no, I don't think this gets it done either. Bradley Beal's a shell of his former self. And, you know, he may look at this situation as, I'll come in and do what Norman Powell did for you, except I'll do it on, you know, just pay me whatever. I still got this buyout money. And he's not going to be that good. He's not going to be as effective as Norman Powell was last season or capable of carrying this team when Kawhi is inevitably out during stretches of the regular season because you're either trying to save him or he's hurt or James Harden's struggling. So, no, I don't like it for the Clippers.
Yeah, I mean, I know.
I'm just not buying it.
Our next guest, Herd, thinks very highly of Bradley Beal. Remember we had that whole
that
hour.
The Grizzlies, yeah, he just was, let's be real, he was trying to force it down our throats. You wanted the Grizzlies to make the move. We couldn't get him to consider anyone else.
I think Bradley Beal kind of showed you, like, he was brought in to be the missing piece in Phoenix. He was brought in to be this last third piece that could get you over. Now, granted, he's going to be making a lot less money. 2-year, $11 million. I mean, what a massive pay cut. Almost unquantifiable, this pay cut.
That's his change bucket for what he's still getting. Right?
But he showed, like, he's just not that guy. He's not going to be a guy that impacts winning in that way. Like, he's never going to get you over the top. He's never going to get you, you know, again, if I view him through an $11 million over 2-year contract, great signing.
Right.
Great signing.
Right.
I mean, he's your 7th, 8th man, but they're probably going to start him, right? I mean, he'll start alongside James and Kawhi.
I guess so, for Norman Powell's old spot.
Yeah. And then they'll have John Collins at the 4. You know, and then did they bring Zubac back? Yeah, he's still there. So, you know, play him at the 5, Brook Lopez off the bench. I don't know, a weird little team.
Kawhi.
Yeah.
Everything's banking on him, you know, being able to play in the playoffs. He was able to play in the playoffs, and they still didn't get it done this year.
Yeah.
What? Then Harden went bad.
Yeah.
Which is what happens every year.
So yeah.
I don't like it. They said some are – saying that they're angling for down the road, right? Like 27-20, getting all this money off their books and having another run at it later on too. So I don't know that they even buy in that this is their title team,
right?
Yeah. So we'll see.
Yeah. Exactly. So
talking about the Clippers.
That's the NBA for you, and then summer league schedule today. You know, I like to go through. Is there anything that you, the NBA fan, should be paying attention to in summer league today?
Still.
Glad you asked. Not really, would be my answer. I mean, Sacramento, Cleveland, you want to watch Devin Carter, they play at 2:30. I don't think anybody wants to watch them play. Phoenix at Minnesota, you know, Malawach probably plays for the Suns if you want to watch the top 10 guy. Milwaukee, Chicago, no. Orlando, Brooklyn, I mean, I think Brooklyn is going to play their top 10 guy, Yeoman, again, but it's not a pretty operation. Dallas, Philly, no. New Orleans, OKC, highly doubt it. Don't think New Orleans is going to play their guys. And then Washington, Utah, everybody's getting shut down. This is what happens, right? You get into this kind of part of this of the summer league, and you know, it gets to be quite hideous.
You know, the next Bradley Beal is Devin Booker.
Yep.
Because Bradley Beal, we once respected for a long time. We respected him. We said he had earned the money. We said he's being loyal to Washington. And then he got to Phoenix. And, you know, they put together this big three that ends up being a mirage. And he becomes, a shell of himself. And now he's kind of a joke. And, you know, he's having to play for what he is now, basically, at this point. And Devin Booker, who just got paid, and I will say has reached the finals, unlike Bradley Beal. Like, he's won at a higher level. Bro, he's going to become that dude in Phoenix, like that in 5-10 years, we're just saying, man, he should have got out of there. Did he ever care about winning and all that stuff? And I'm telling you, he will be the next one. He'll be the next Bradley Beal, Devin Booker.
Yeah.
The guy I once respected.
Yeah.
Like we respected Bradley Beal. And I'm not saying, oh, well, he needed to say change of scenery, but I don't buy anything Ishbia has done so far. I know people like what they did getting Malawach to put with Mark Williams. They don't have anything right now. We have no idea what's going to happen with Jalen Green if he's one of them dudes because he hasn't been in the playoffs yet. It's been, you know, short, small sample size, but I'm not buying that Devin Booker in 2 or 3 years is going to have a contender on his hands. He's just going to have a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to have done nothing. They don't even have their pick next year is going to the Grizzlies. Like, what are we talking about here?
Yeah.
And so we will forget about Devin Booker in sort of the same way we forgot about Beal. And maybe at the end of his career, he's getting on a team and seeing if he can be the third piece.
But yeah.
He's your next Bradley.
The other upshot is it's like the Suns, right? You have their pick.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, so like how good can it be?
It won't get any better anytime soon for them.
Yeah.
I don't care who you put in at center and how many good centers you have.
Yeah.
If it's just Jalen Green, unproven Jalen Green, and Devin Booker, and a couple of centers, it's not going to get you anywhere in the West.
It's a great development because that's not – you're right. That's not going to be a 40-win team. Like, no chance. Feels like 30 to 35.
Mm.
And then the Wizards, I mean, they're young as hell. Now, I know that, again, I know there are some, like, machinations that we have to – keep in mind with like who gets what pick and where it go. Like, nobody involved knows. All they tell us is that we need to root for the Suns to lose.
It will likely be the Suns and not Washington's pick.
Yeah.
The protections with Washington, I think, would make it more likely that it's going to be the Suns.
Right.
And most of the smart people have said we've been okay to assume it will be.
Because they think the
Harringtons,
the Wizards will be very bad.
Right.
So the assumption is the Suns will be better than the Wizards.
I think that's it.
Basically. And yeah, I mean, I don't know. I guess, is there a scenario where if the Wizards are actually better than the Suns, that the Grizzlies still would not get the pick because of like, is there
some small chance, but it's not. Yeah. It's apparently infinitesimal that it doesn't, infinitesimal, doesn't need to be addressed.
Right, right.
Because I've listened to Harrington be asked about 2-3 times.
Yeah,
the way we need to look at this is you're going to get Phoenix's pick.
Exactly. All right.
Just refuse to put a ton of worry into it, right?
Yeah.
Well, I am interested in their wins, though. What'd you say you thought it was? I was trying to pull it up before we moved on.
Oh, the Suns?
Yes.
I mean, they're
32 and a half.
Yeah, they're 30 to 35, and then the Wizards, I assume, are even worse than that. So, I mean, I think the Wizards would probably have to be at like 27 and a half.
They're 21 and a half.
Oh, my God. That's why. So,
isn't it about their pick being protected? There's something about like, maybe the one, though?
I think it's something like that. That's why I was people are focusing on the Suns. That's why they're. But again, I don't know. I don't know I'm bad at the salary cap. I'm bad with these draft picks. Anyway, there you have it. Lots of NBA news today. All right, we're going to come back. Norton Hurd, the fourth, is going to join us on the other side. We'll talk to him about Peach Jam 2027 draft class that's getting some criticism. Lots more to come. Stick around, Jason.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. P&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
John, how do you turn to FM? Yes, me.
This is, in fact, the most important time, or certainly the time of year that Norton Hurd the Fourth does it all for. We are at the Peach Jam, and after, one game of pool play action, the top 24 teams have advanced, Coach Hurd. We are 1-0. Yesterday, after a 91-77 win over Bradley Beal Elite. How about a round of applause for Team Thad? Coach, how are you?
Man, I'm doing great, Jason. Doing good, like you probably heard on Jeffrey. We didn't end the season well at Session 4, but that might have been a blessing for us to go and get out all the kinkers that we needed to. And we should have been like a 1 or 2 seed, but because we didn't do well, we ended up being a 5 seed, but the great thing about basketball is we actually beat the number 1 seed by double digits yesterday. So you just never know how this, and we scored more than anybody on day one out of all 24 teams. We scored 91 points. And so I think we're back in the flow. We win the day that put us in the, I think that put us in a really good driver's seat to get out of pool play and advance into the Elite Eight.
Okay. And held Bradley Beal to 37% shooting yesterday, in addition to the great offense. So I won't, you don't need to take us all the way back through that final session, but what was said, Coach, in terms of, you know, putting that behind you, because you've got to. You've made it now, still, even with that session. You know, you advance the top 24. What did you tell them about this fresh start, about advancing to pool play and still having a chance at what the ultimate goal is, which is bringing home this Peach Jam title? What did you say on the in-between?
Well, we all motivated each other. I motivated the kids, basically letting them know, you know, because I was upset about session four, and I even had to calm down, like, heard it's still an honor. It's almost like, and I don't know if the Grizzlies did this before, Jason, or but it was some teams like that made it to the playoffs last year, but maybe they last 10 games, they might have went 3-7, right? And you can be mad, like, oh, this is not good momentum going to the playoffs. But then you got to also realize at some point in the year, you did enough work or did it the right way to be in this position. You know what I mean? So you have to take away all the negativity, and it's a new season, right? And it was a lot of upsets. The number one seed team takeover loss to the fifth seed Durant yesterday. So I just had to let the boys know that it was about, you know, right now it was about doing things the right way. It was about all of that good stuff. And the boys understood it. We was like, don't worry about – Coach Harris is not going to talk about no turnovers. Guess what? Because we through with that. You know, even y'all got to challenge me. Coach Harris is not going to talk about anything went wrong. This is a new day. This is a new week. This is a new time to do things the right way. And so, and people called me too, because I was pretty mad about last week. I was like, "Her, you got to let it go. You in. That's all that matters. Once right. you get in the party, once you get in the dance, when you get in any room of life, now it's time to talk about this week." And I think the boys handled it well, because Bradley Beal was on fire. They had just killed Melo 90 to a 30-point win the day before. So they came in on fire, and we took it away. And honestly, if you watch that game, Jason, the last 2-3 minutes when we were up 20-some, you know, our boys kind of played around. That's how it even got close. But Bradley Beal probably only should have had like 65 points. Like, we kind of like turned it over at the end and kind of did what they was, you know, and did things that kids do, right? And so I appreciate their focus. And just to add on to that, Jason, I know this is a long answer. I also think when you're dealing with kids too, some of them that think they're over smart, they realized we were in already too, and the motivation wasn't as tough as last week.
What changed in the third quarter about yesterday? You outscored them 30-10. You talked about letting off a little bit at the end, but it was because of that work you did in the third. What changed? What was said at halftime? Obviously a great offensive effort, but defensively you kind of got back to what Team Thad does, and like we talked about, held them to 37% overall. What was the adjustment in that third, Coach?
So I had to get better as a coach, right, from an adjustment standpoint. Bradley Beal really didn't make any threes. So I'm like, there's no reason for us to keep overhounding them full court. There's no reason for us to be fighting on screens, which I'm against that, because I'm totally against aggressive. I realized, let's just go under the screen. Make us play them in the half court, pack it in. Their bigs ain't taking no shots. When they big get it, I told my big man, bag back. Yep. Help out your other people. We're not going to overly play them, right? I don't know if y'all noticed, my starting big man got ejected with 3 minutes in the game.
I did not
see
that.
We were actually playing small also. Yeah, so Jackson Sheffield only played for him, and a guy got tangled up. He kind of threw a bow. I don't think it was caused for ejection, but these refs here are getting evaluated, so they try to do extra stuff. They're getting evaluated to be like SEC refs, so they try to do extra stuff. And that's the third thing, too. The refs got out of it. In the first half, if you go look, Jason, they might have made out of the 30-some points 15 free throws.
Mm-hmm.
So I was telling the refs, like, look, y'all got to get out of this game. You know, they got the text for my kid. The third quarter, it wasn't many fouls, and our flow wasn't messed up, and we was able to get back to, you know, getting up and down the court like Team Thad does it.
Talking to Norton Hurd, program director and coach of Team Thad, obviously getting going this week in South Carolina for the Peach Jam. I want to kind of turn your attention to something slightly related but different, which is the 2027 NBA draft. Some of those guys that are going to be members of the 2027 NBA draft are playing this week. And ESPN's Jonathan Givony was talking to NBA people and basically wrote that executives are ringing alarm bells in their front offices about the 2027 draft. They believe it's going to be an especially weak group of high school seniors and international players. Now, I don't expect you to know that much about international players, but do you think that's a wrong assessment, a fair assessment of the 2027 draft? Like, what about the talent that you're seeing this week?
27 draft. It for me is hard to talk about because we ain't even got to the 26th draft, right? So for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not as smart as some of you guys to try to, you know, think about a draft 2 years from now. We don't know who's going one and two and done. But I do think the upcoming seniors, you got Brandon McCoy, Tyron Stokes, some of them. I think they have promising futures. I can see where some of this class is not getting the recognition depth-wise in some of the other classes. But, you know, I think it's pretty good. I think it's a little too early to in my opinion, to figure out.
Tell us about Mokan, Coach. Their talent level and more importantly, what they do best. What you're preparing your guys for this afternoon.
So Mokan, you know, our rival of ours. Let's just call it what it is. Kind of don't mess with them, but they run a really good program. They run a really good offense. Probably top five in that. And their bigs are more physical than Bradley Beal. I feel like Bradley Beal and Mokan are our two biggest rivals as far as most of the top kids we're recruiting in the area. It comes down to us three, so to play them in the first two games of PJM is pretty unique. But I know they're going to come in. You throw the records out when it's a rival. They're going to come in. They're going to play hard. But the last two games, I don't feel like they have played as well. Like yesterday, they lost to the sixth seed, and they only scored 46 points. Mm. The game before, they only had 19 points at halftime. So their offense has been a little funky lately. They kind of been in a drought. But like Bradley Beal said about us, they said, here, we knew you was going to get them boys up and going for the day game. You know what I mean? Like we kept telling our boys by them not doing good last week, don't look at that. So we got to treat it the same way. We got to come in with respect for a high-level program like Mokan. If we want it, we got to go take it.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, like, the Peach Jam setting, right? Like, you play in a lot of events. You play in high-profile events. I mean, you play, you know, here in Memphis when Nike came here. But is it just a different sort of approach for you with the boys in terms of, hey, like, we have to maybe say something to them before this all gets underway? Or, like, is it all just kind of the same thing? Is it all just basketball at this level?
It's basketball, John, but it's nothing like the Peach Jam, like just the way they treat you, John. Like with the teams, like we come in, I mean, it's awesome, right? We come in, we valet downstairs, so we get valet service. You come in, they feed you all day. It's crazy media. They got barbershop set up. They got recovery. I mean, it's just crazy. You're seeing every Nike NBA player here. I mean, every exec, we on NBA TV some games. So it's like you have to really – it's so much to take in. You have to keep everything under control. You have to keep the kids balanced. You know, we've been here for a while. I mean, it's even as crazy as – I don't even want to talk about this too much on the air, but, like, when it started getting to, like, the end of PJM and Elite Eight, you actually even have a lot of girls and women and stuff coming to PJM seeing who the next star is. I mean, it's crazy. Like, it's unbelievable, right? And so you have to make sure that you just keeping the boys focused, because none is as big as Peach Jam. Like, winning Peach Jam, I don't think none is bigger than winning Peach Jam outside of, like, winning the NCAA tournament or the NBA. Like, it's that big when you start getting in Peach Jam and deep in pool play and into the Elite Eight and Final Four.
I wonder, until you host, you know, hoist your first Peach Jam trophy, which we all believe is coming at some point, if, you know, and that pressure that comes with that, and you just talked about it, everybody wants to win the Peach Jam. Do you get nervous on these, Coach, at this level? Or is it kind of like what you just said? Because I want to touch on, are you so busy trying to keep the kids in line. And Lord knows, it sounds like they took you for a roller coaster this last, you know, week and a half, whatever it's been. Are you so busy trying to calm them down that there's no time for you to be nervous? But let's be real. There's been pressure on you to get this done, whether it's been for Memphis, whether it's been for the organization, whether it's been just for your own personal, man, let me go ahead and get this. I mean, it's something you prepare for most of the year. It's something you strive to get and have for a while. There's a pressure that comes with that. So do you still get nervous?
Not really. I really get, you know, excited for the kids. And what I try to explain to my seniors, like, you know, I'll be back here next year. So I want you to do something special. Y'all got the last week of y'all AAU career because they have us down here so long at Peach Jam for 2 weeks. Once we get back home, Vegas and everybody call us, we be like, no, it's over with, right? And so from that standpoint, and the pressure actually comes with me being great, John, or people expecting greatness from me, whether that's either
it's
my
John.
Haters or my supporters, right? Because think about it. We've only been with Nike 5-6 years. His teams have been with Nike 20 years, 15, 30 years, never won Peach Jam. So for people already to expect me to do it, you know, that kind of show a sign of respect, you know.
Very much so. Because you've won at every level, Coach. Because that's what you've done, right? As you've and that's some of me. I'll hold my hand up. I think it's because I've watched you win it at every level and reach the top of every level you've been at. And so I suppose I have to include myself in terms of one of those folks that's applied that pressure because he's always seen greatness produced from your teams.
No, I appreciate that, and we're striving for it. I think the original Peach Jam, I mean, EYBL, right? That's because it got, back in the day, everybody could go to Peach Jam, so we don't count that no more. So the first Peach Jam under EYBL started probably like either 2011 or 2012. So when that happened, you got Oakland Soldiers, Bradley Beal, Oakland Soldiers Takeover and MoCant all done won like 2-3 apiece. So it's only like 10 teams that didn't want it. So you see what I'm saying?
Yes.
So we're still in the mix of getting in here and trying to get one, you know, within a respectable time. But, you know, it's still for the running. And, you know, we're here. We go figure it out. We always put a proud product out there. I don't know if y'all seen it, but we're one of the only three programs in the country that all three teams made Peach Jam, 15, 16, and 17. So we're moving in the right direction. We just got to continue to figure it out.
Talking to Norton Hurd IV, nice enough to join us as he's getting ready for Peach Jam this week. He's coaching in the elite event for Nike. Let me get your thoughts on Nolan Smith, University of Memphis assistant, who is on track to take the Tennessee State head coaching job. What do you make of that job and Nolan as the fit there?
Man, I just think it's amazing how this whole thing transpired. Even from Penny Collins, which is a really, really great dude, but how relationships work in life and him knowing the head coach of the Grizzlies, like, you know, Penny did great things at TSU, but people were saying, you know, he was on the hot seat. And so he upgraded in the job, right? And then, of course, me selfishly, and Nolan Smith is my dude, I kind of wanted Eric to at least get this 1 year of a head coach, right? I wanted Eric Buds, which is a Memphis guy. I guess we both can claim him as a White Station and Mitchell guy, but
yep,
he graduated from Mitchell. So, you know,
in the end, he's yours.
At my house.
It's true.
Yeah,
your house. That's
and
right.
So, you know, I wanted that, but with all that, I'm happy for Nolan. I think it was a great hire. I think you got to try it, even as an African-American man. Anytime you get a head coach opportunity, you at least got to go try it. I feel like we got to give him some time, though, because, you know, there's only so much money and resources at those type of schools. And then this year, he can't put his imprint on it much from a recruiting standpoint because the team is already set. This is like a unique situation. Usually, you know, you don't have a head coach in July for the upcoming season, right? That's usually already handled. So, but I think it'll be big for him. I think it's a blessing for him, and I think it's definitely something that he should go get experience for and see can he move up.
Deion and Madlock, they had their sons to help.
Yep.
Does Nolan have a son that can help? Oh, it doesn't sound like it. Okay. Coach, you got other things to worry about.
Yeah, and heard just while we're on the subject of African-American coaches, you know, if you don't get it done this week, there's going to be a lot of criticism probably on this show. So
it's going to come, yep, and probably from both of us.
That's right. The standards are high.
Coach, congrats on the 1-0 start. Let's keep it going. Yep. Sounds like it's been a roller coaster already, man. Pull them on through, brother.
Let's do it.
Hey, thanks for doing this, Coach. Yes, sir. Much luck to you, man, this week.
Yep. I appreciate John, Jason, Brad. Appreciate y'all.
Bring it home.
When we finally ran that P gym, before I take it to my gym, we bring it to 92.9.
Man, I cannot wait.
Love it, brother.
Just like when we brought that Vegas title in here. Love it, brother. Appreciate you, man. Good luck.
Thanks, Herd.
Yes, sir.
Yep, he is Norton Herd the fourth. Nice enough to join us. 1-0 start. So he's already off to a, was it Bradley Beal Elite?
Yes.
His favorite player.
Yeah.
I mean, that had to be tough for him on an emotional level.
Again, a team that had been rolling, and they were coming off of an awful session four that they had to put behind them and barely made it into the top 24. Again, credit to them because they were able to put it behind. Say, you know, kids, that's the thing, John. You're there for 2 weeks now, and the kids think they're already in because of your first three sessions been so good. Go out there, lose four straight, and you get in by the skin of your teeth. Well, what are you going to do to start pool play? You got to be one of the top two in your pool to advance to the Elite Eight. They start 1-0, but it wasn't until a dominant third quarter. It's not like Herd gave them a heck of a halftime speech. They started scoring. You backed off of them. I looked. Beal finished 4 of 24 from three. Why press them up if they're going to shoot the ball like that? And so that adjustment looked like it helped them in third quarter.
Yeah.
Now you're off to a 1-0 starting pool play. Got to be one of the top two. You're one of the top two, John. They advance the final eight. That's all happening this week. So hopefully they make it through.
All right, that's Norton Herd the fourth. Appreciate him for joining us on the show. We'll come back, wrap this up. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.